Let me not then die ingloriously and without struggle, but let me first do some great things that shall be told among men hereafter. And that is a quote from Homer's The Iliad, the famous poem about Troy and the Odyssey. And that's what we're discussing today, the Trojan War and what it really was. And with me as always is Patty.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Wine About History.
And for those of you who don't know, I can't imagine that you don't know about Troy because you were forced to read it in high school. But what it's about is it is a fictional story in which the Greeks overthrow the city with the help of the gods in classical times. And for years, people thought it was just a story. And then all this evidence came out.
But first, before we talk about the Battle of Troy, we're talking about the Battle of Troy, right? Or are we talking
about...
Yeah. Oh, it's a war. Okay. We're going to talk about some wine first, because we are drinking tonight...
Ironside Chardonnay Reserve.
And what do you think?
I really like it. It's... So, this is a this Chardonnay is... I'm not a big Chardonnay fan. If you haven't noticed, I like red wines. I like red blends, and I love Pinot Noir. But this is delicious. It's very...
It's really good.
Very creamy and buttery with a nice citrus.
And a little vanilla. I'm definitely getting some vanilla notes there, which is what I like out of a Chardonnay. This is exactly what I like out of a Chardonnay. It does have some oak. Not the hugest fan of an oaky Chardonnay, but a little oak is fine with me. So, what read it off one more time for the listeners. I just want to...
It is Ironside Chardonnay from California.
Awesome. What vintage are we drinking here?
2019.
Okay.
So, and...
So back to the war?
Back to the war.
Okay.
Well, I was pausing because I was like, do I rant some more about the wine? But it is good.
Well, you could. You could rant more about the wine. But if it's good, there's nothing really to rant about. It's got the flavors you like.
If you like,
yeah. It's got the mouthfeel you like.
If you like Chardonnay, get some. You'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, give it a whirl.
If you don't like Chardonnay, listen to the other episodes where we've talked about five different other types of wines and grapes. Now, back to the podcast. So the Trojan War, you know, it's semi-fictional, depending on who you ask. And it took place around 1194 to 1184, so because the war lasted 10 years.
Wait, 1194 to 1184?
B.C.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Ancient Greeks, but fair enough. So for hundreds of years, like I said, it was assumed to be a myth. And it was about the clever Greeks outwitting the impervious Trojan city and the gods meddling like they always do. They were playthings of their capricious gods. Like, yeah. If you read Greek history, you know exactly what it's about. But it wasn't until the 20th century that they revealed there was something a bit more to the story. So I'll set the scene. In the Bronze Age episode, we talked about the Mycenaeans. These are the Greeks of this story.
Oh, Mycenaeans were Greeks?
Yes. They were the first European civilization.
Okay, I probably should have picked up on that when we were doing the last podcast, but I guess I wasn't paying enough attention.
You don't write the notes, so you don't remember.
Good point.
So they were, what a good allegory for them, where they were the Vikings of the ancient world. And my cat apparently doesn't like it. He's interrupting. We have our other mascot today. So they were the Vikings of the ancient world. And because they were traders, merchants, and raiders. And like other Bronze Age civilizations, great warrior kings ruled from powerful cities over large agrarian societies. And the major Mycenaean city centers included Mycenae, can't pronounce some of these words, Tenerus, Pylos, Argos, Sparta, Athens, probably Thebes, Orchomenos.
I've heard of those places, yeah.
There's some powerful cities. And they established them on Crete and Knossos. And so a Viking longship was one of the most terrifying things in the medieval world. Same thing with the Greek ship, their galleys. Absolutely terrifying. And they raided all over the Mediterranean. Now, another power was the Hittite warriors, which were a powerful empire in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, and a little spread out. And they fell about 4 years after Troy did. And their empire was a Bronze Age powerhouse that developed iron tools and weapons before their neighbors. And they were a warrior people. And I've read somewhere that they believed their gods would get very upset if there was no war. So they were always conquering.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Nice excuse.
And they actually have very close genetic and cultural ties to the Trojans. Now, the Trojans were essentially a massive trading post between the Greeks and the Hittites and even the Egyptians to the south.
Okay, so where's Troy located exactly?
Troy is located on the Greek coast. So, you know, so some of you are going to be pulling up a map right now. You can actually look it up because you can look up on your phone, but some of you might know the coast of Turkey. It's a big lump on the left side.
Okay.
Turkey. It's on part of the lump, the southern half.
I'm going to Google a map of Greece right now because I'm really curious.
Well, don't look up. Troy is in Turkey.
Oh.
Modern-day Turkey.
Oh, okay. Well, they're close and though, right?
They are. And then the Trojans were famous archers and horse traders. So they had their Hittite cousins to the east, their Greek trading partners to the west. And it's no wonder that Troy has invincible walls, archers, and warrior royalty because they were surrounded. And they were very interesting. They were kind of stereotyped as fast-talking horse traders, which they were. They had more culture than Greece in a way. They had, now that's a little weird thing to say, but they were also culturally closer to the Hittites. They had polygamy. They had higher women's rights. They had excellent archery, while Greeks had poor archers. But their ties to Greece were so strong that there is so much pottery from Greece in the Trojan city that first archaeologists wondered if they had the right city.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, there's not so much pottery there was there. So I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of the play. Queen Helen of Sparta and the Trojan prince Paris flee. They abscond together back to Troy. Helen's husband, Menelaus, convinces his brother Agamemnon, king of Mycenae, to lead an expedition to retrieve her. And they were joined by a bunch of heroes, Achilles, Ajax, Odysseus, Nestor, a bunch of them. And they had a fleet of 1,000 ships?
That sounds like a lot of ships.
I think it's 1,000 ships.
That is a ton of ships.
It was the biggest fleet at the time. They went from the Aegean Sea, laid siege to Troy, and demanded Helen's return from Priam, who was the king of Troy at the time. And then there's a lot of stories about the battles going back and forth. Eventually, the Trojan prince Hector, who's this great big warrior, kills Achilles, who's the greatest hero of all, kills either his cousin or a good friend of his, depending on who, you know, which interpretation of the story you listen to. Well, he gets pissed, kills him in single combat. Now, people might think it's crazy that they had duels back then, but they really did. Heroes would step out of the line and challenge another great hero in single combat, which is more dangerous because you have no one watching your back.
Oh, okay.
So it was a prestige, an honor thing. It was also, this guy's killed a bunch of people in single combat. He's very scary. I don't want to fight him. Do you want to fight him? Let's sue for peace.
Okay.
The movie Troy actually had a bunch of things right like that.
Wow.
Yeah, they actually were surprisingly accurate compared to other interpretations.
How many movies have there been about this?
As far as I know, dozens.
Probably.
It's
most kind of a famous story.
Yeah, most of them probably bad 60s movies.
With take foam that so back.
No. I've watched too many bad 1960s.
Well, yeah, there weren't a ton of great movies in the 60s. Maybe there were. We're going to get hate mail now. There probably were great movies in the 60s.
So what happens is Achilles kills Troy.
So Troy's a guy as well as a...
Oh, no, I misspoke. Kills the Trojan prince, Hector, and then drags his body around the city three times to insult them.
It's grisly.
But they've gone to war for 10 years. They can't get in. So Odysseus gets the idea. I know. When Greeks surrender, we leave our horses as a token of surrender. We'll get a wooden horse. We'll make it, fill it full of our best warriors. They'll accept it as a gift. They'll break out and open up the city for us.
Ah.
Because it had these impregnable, massive walls. It works. They pull the gift in. The horses open up. Warriors led by Odysseus climb out and open up the gates of Troy. In the melee, Achilles is supposed to be invincible. His heel gets damaged. He dies because of it.
Yep.
And then that's the story in a nutshell. A very, very small nutshell that I've crammed together in a few minutes.
It's a cool story.
It is
a good
story.
You could see something like that probably happened. Yes. You know, they probably had some big, massive warrior dude who everyone was afraid of. He was, like, huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe his heel got nicked and it got infected and he died.
Yeah, he probably died after this.
Like,
or what happened was somebody probably may have cut his Achilles tendon. That's where the name comes from. Could have cut that tendon and then gave him a coup de grace.
Definitely that could have happened. And you could see, you know, people have all kinds of sneaky ways of sneaking into cities and... Maybe they just, you know, romanticized it by talking about a giant horse that they built, what, overnight? Or did they work on this thing for a while? Do we not really know?
Probably worked on that for a while. They were pretty good craftsmen, though. I actually think that may have happened, because it's so weird and out of place. And when something weird and out of place happens in a semi-mythical story, I'm like, you know, you probably didn't kill a dragon, but you did probably save a girl. And the dragon's probably a metaphor for some jerk.
Could be.
So... Then the Bronze Age collapse happened, actually. But, and then what a lot of people think is when the collapse happened, that was part of it was a result of the trading routes breaking down, Troy's trading route. Also, there's tons of reasons why the Bronze Age collapse happened. I'll go into it more in another episode. But what some scholars think is the Trojans kind of saw the writing on the wall. Because here's what probably happened. The Greeks were pirates. We've covered this. They probably did raids along the coast of Troy, which didn't have a navy for some reason. And for 9 years. Then, because they were pirates, they were Vikings. At some point, Helen probably did run away. And they said, this is a great... opportunity to get our hands on Troy's resources to insulate ourselves from the impending doom.
Sure, that can happen.
But we're gonna go back to history before speculation. And here's what happened. Most people thought this was kind of probably not true. It's a story. Why would you believe such a fictional story? Zeus is interceding every 5 minutes. Zeus doesn't exist.
Right.
Or does he?
Yeah, hit me with some more wine there. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
More?
No, that's good. That's fine.
So
who's Zeus in all this? Or is it just for fun?
Zeus is
Are they just throwing Zeus that? No, sorry. I mean, like, is Zeus a metaphor for somebody, or are they just throwing him in for fun?
Oh, they throw him in there because that's what they did. Okay. He was their gods.
Oh, okay.
In the same way that Christians, when they got hands on Beowulf, swapped out Odin for God.
Oh,
and Thor for Jesus.
Okay.
So... it wasn't until the 1860s that an amateur German scholar named Heinrich Schliemann, who he had mixed reviews. I remember reading about this guy in college. He's kind of the anti-authoritarian godfather of archaeology, we'll say. He was a very flawed person, but he did a lot of work. He was a very smart guy. And I should probably do an episode on him as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he went looking for Troy. And by some weird coincidence, he was good friends with the ambassador of the modern, the modern Ottoman Empire, where Turkey is. And he said, you know what? I actually own the land where Troy is supposed to be. Do you want to excavate it? Yeah.
Didn't have to think twice about that.
And it's this large mound called Hitzelek. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. If you are Turkish and are getting offended, let me know. And he found nine cities built atop of each other. Nine being the highest, and then down to one, which was the lowest. Now, he's not a careful archaeologist. He ripped through it. He thought he thought the second deepest one was Troy. And he did damage to 6 through 9 to get to it. He threw things away, stole jewelry, gave it to his very young wife.
That's like, unfortunate.
Yeah. Sad.
It is sad.
And then in 1890, another German named Wilhelm Dorpfeld took over. He focused on six and very carefully, found a city that kind of matches Homer's description. And it was destroyed by an earthquake. And everyone went, oh, well, now we know what happened. It wasn't a horse. It was Poseidon. Poseidon was the god of earthquakes. His symbol was a horse. So they said an earthquake destroyed the city for us. It was the will of our gods.
Makes sense.
Problem with that is, that wasn't Troy. It wasn't until an American named Charles Blagan started working out and realized that Troy 7 was built on Troy 6. And Troy 7 was when the time period was supposed to happen. And that was destroyed by war. They built 6 on 7. And what he found was dead bodies that hadn't been buried. He found some fire damage and arrowheads.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. A few here and there. Not enough for war. Maybe, you know, a little defense. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until 1988 that a Dr. Cormann, another German, I don't know why Germans are fascinated with Troy, but you guys need to do a study, found a massive city, not a tiny citadel. And the city, the large sponge, showed a lot of fire damage, a lot of arrowheads, and a bunch of bodies that hadn't been buried.
Oh, boy.
And he's like, this is it. It was destroyed by a war. And these arrowheads I find look just like Mycenaean Greek arrowheads. So it probably happened. And like many oral traditions, remember, if you don't remember our episode on the Franklin Expedition, the best resource that the archaeologists had were the local Netsilik people who had an oral tradition of what happened to the lost expedition. But it was probably embellished and embellished. You know, there probably was an Achilles and Odysseus. There was an Agamemnon. We're almost sure of that. You know, there probably was a Priam. There probably was a Helen. And, you know, Helen probably went, well, you know what? I'm going to stay here in an abusive, aggressive, mean, very male-dominated society, or go to Troy, where there's polygamy, but there's better women's rights.
She would have had it better there.
She would have it. She actually left her daughter Hermione. That's where the name comes from. Left her daughter behind with her probably Greek kings were not nice men.
No,
they were rude. A lot of them were rude warriors. So, what do you think happened?
Probably a war that was what that would be 2,000 years ago. No, mm-hmm. 3,000 years ago. So, yeah, probably like you said, there was probably a really bad war, bad battle. Somehow they snuck in. Maybe they did build a horse. It seems pretty naive that, oh, sure, we'll just take this horse and bring it. But who knows?
People are dumb.
People are dumb.
I actually like to think that happened because that's a kind of a clever thing the Greeks are famous for, a little clever ruse to win the day.
But whatever happened, we have a very interesting story about it. We may never know exactly what happened, but it's been a lot of plays, a lot of stories, a lot of movies that have entertained us over the years. And I know that Helen was supposed to have been like a really beautiful woman, or at least that's how she's portrayed, you know, the face that launched 1,000 ships. And so we'd like to think of her as being, you know, stunningly beautiful woman. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. But
here's what I think happened. I think there was about 9 years of raids.
Mm-hmm.
Helen ran off with Paris.
Okay.
Something comparable happened. These fast-talking horse traders, let's go get them. And they wanted money and power. Menelaus wanted his wife back. And they probably laid siege to the city for a year and went, this is freaking impossible. And came up with some clever way. I like to think the horse is real. You know what I mean? It's not an impossible notion.
Mm-mm. It could have happened.
It could be a metaphor for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Not an earthquake. And then they got in. They came. They conquered. And then allegedly, I saved this little tidbit for last, the Trojans are supposed to have gone to Rome and become the first Romans, Rom and Remulus.
Really?
It was Remus and Romulus. And got revenge on the Greeks.
Ooh. Very interesting. I like that theory. That's very cool. Well, is that going to do it for us then?
That's going to do it for us today. Thank you all so much for listening. Now, I have some updates. One, we still don't have a website. Yes, I'm that lazy.
I'll work on it, people. I'll get them to start a website.
We do have a Patreon now.
We do?
We do have a Patreon. So if you can, this is not free for us to do. It's not just the hours of work I put in to putting, you know, 15 minutes worth of notes together, what have you. It's not just the microphones and the this and the that and the, you know.
The stunning studio.
The stunning studio that's my living room. It's cost money to do. It's not free. So if you've got a few dollars, if you like the show, if you don't want it to shut down, go ahead. Send us some money. We really appreciate it. We don't have it tiered yet. I'm still debating how to do a tier. Any suggestions are welcome. But if you have any loose pocket change, you know, I like hearing, you know, Max chat about history. Here's a dollar.
There you go.
So thank you all so much for listening. You guys are really the best. I know every content creator goes on and on. Oh, my God, I love you so much. But really, I love doing this. I love that people listen. I love that people are getting a different take on history that isn't just a stuffy professor or some revisionist heck bent on their own agenda. So thank you very much for listening. And remember,
if it weren't for history, we wouldn't be here.